Welcome to the TeacherCast Educational Network, coming to you from the TeacherCast studios since 2011. Join us each week as we bring you the latest educational news, EdTech updates, and hottest interviews with today's most influential leaders in education. And now, for your host, Jeff Bradbury.
And welcome to the TeacherCast Educational Network. My name is Jeff Bradbury. Thank you so much for joining us today and making TeacherCast your home for professional development. On today's episode, we're going to be breaking down all the news and updates from Google Education live from the ISTE conference. And we have a fantastic guest today from Canopy Education who's going to be sharing with us a little bit about what he thinks we're going to be doing using Gemini, Google Vids, and some of the more back-end kinds of things that Google has updated this year that you might not realize are now a part of your Google Education Suite. This is the first time you're checking out our show. Thank you guys for joining us today. Don't forget to hit that like and subscribe. Share this on your social media. We are Digital Learning Today for the last 14 years been working hard to support you guys in education and professional development. You can check out all the great stuff over at teachercast.net/podcast. And if you'd like to be featured on the show, head on over to teachercast.net/contact today. Our show today is brought to you by my new book, Impact Standards. If you're looking to create an impact in your classrooms, head on over to teachercast.net/standards today and check it out. There's a lot of great buzz, and it was so great at ISTE this year to see so many people checking it out and reading it and saying some nice things about my new book. So head on over to teachercast.net/standards today. My guest today is the CEO of Canopy Education, an amazing professional development platform specifically focusing on Google Education and how we can use Google Workspace in our classrooms. I want to bring on today somebody who's not a stranger to TeacherCast, Mr. Andrew Caffrey. Andrew, how are you today? Welcome back.
I'm good, Jeff. Thanks for having me back on. It's great to be here again.
I am so excited that you're here today. And before we even get started, it was great to finally meet you. We had a chance that over at ISTE to spend some time together. We're going to talk today all about Google Education, talk about what's new with Canopy. But before we get into that, what was your thoughts of ISTE? How'd you enjoy the trip?
Yeah, it was a great trip this year. Really nice to connect with. I mean, I think the big fun thing for me with all of these events is connecting with the community and with all the folks that I deal with online an awful lot across the different programs I work on. So it was really nice with a lot of Google certified trainers, coaches, and innovators at ISTE this year. Big champions community there, so that was great to see.
There was certainly,
I'm sure we're going to get onto this, but lots of updates.
There were certainly a lot of updates. Before we jump into all of that stuff, for those who might not be familiar with your work, I mean, I think everybody knows Google Education, but you guys are really one of those essential partners out there. Talk to us a little bit about what Canopy Education is. Where do we find you? And tell us a little bit about the work that your team is doing.
Yeah, so I'm the CEO of Canopy Education. We're a professional development company, so our role is to train teachers to use technology in the classroom to improve teaching and learning. And we are a Google professional development partner, so we work alongside Google on lots of different teacher training programs. So we're across lots of Google space. We work in other things as well. We're a partner of Canva for some of their programs, so we're not exclusively into one tool, but we're very much in this space. Everybody who works at Canopy is a former teacher. So we're all former educators, usually with a back history of doing this in the classroom. And like most of us, rolling through different roles in educational technology and then ultimately end up with what we do now. So that's how we sort of work. We're based in the UK, but we work globally and our team is sort of dispersed globally. And in terms of finding us, we're on the web at canopy.education. So that's our website. And you can follow us on all the usual socials as well.
We're going to make sure that we have links to this and all of the different Canopy properties. Definitely check them out if you're looking for great stuff on Google, if you're looking for great stuff on Canva. They have got an amazing professional development resource, one that I pull from each and every week for my classes. Definitely check them out over at canopy.education. And so, Andrew, buckle up here, right? Let's just start to talk about some of the big things that we're coming out with. One of the first things that happened was Google has decided that this thing called AI is now available for our younger students. And I was shocked to be sitting there at some of the Google events going, oh, now we can do all this Gemini stuff in Google Classroom. What are your thoughts on where we are with Gemini? What are your thoughts on Google Classroom? And it's now easier than ever to do this stuff.
Yeah, different loads of different announcements around this space. So, yeah, you're right. The age limit on Gemini is lowered to whoever you want to give access to Gemini to. But the control for that, really, to be clear, is still in the admin console. And, you know, a district or a school administrator, whoever has access, has the ability to turn any Google tool on or off for any group or OU inside the admin console. So just because something's available doesn't mean you have to use it. Doesn't mean you have to turn it on at this point. And I think most schools and districts I'm talking to are taking a very structured approach to this. So it's not like, oh, let's just turn it on and see what happens. Let's take some sort of approach to who might need access and why.
You know, school districts right now come in a variety, right? There are school districts that are going both feet in the water and let's try this cautiously. And there are school districts that are trying to figure out what that solution should be. Why would a school district want to be using Gemini? Why would they want to be using it in their classrooms? And what kind of things should a school district be thinking about when they're having that discussion to turn on that switch? And then I would say, as the last question on that, should it be an all or nothing? If you're going to turn it on for Classroom, should you also turn it on for Google Docs?
Yeah, so let's get into the different parts of that question. So in terms of who to turn it on for, it really varies from district to district with what we're seeing. And some of that is around their actual adoption of tech in the first place. And you'll know this, that some places are quite heavily into their use of technology. They might be heavily into using the Google Workspace tools already. Students might be submitting lots of digital work, and then you go to another district and it's not the same. So it sort of depends where you are on that journey. But if I look at this, a lot of schools in the UK where I work with, particularly for our older students, so our 16, 17, 18 year olds, top end in our case, before they go off to college and university, those are the sort of ages where we will get in questions about, well, why can't they have access to Gemini? You know, they're 3 months before their 18th birthday. It seems a bit strange that in 3 months' time they can have it, and at this point they can't. So that sort of age range is where we're getting the push. Getting less push from sort of, you know, elementary, junior schools at this point, seeing a use for it, but at that top end to support work. In terms of how do I think schools might handle that or districts might handle that, I'd say there's two parts to it. One part is, how are you effectively training young people to use Gemini? And we built, full disclosure, at Canopy, we built some resources for that. So we felt that although Google produced a video, and that's nice, that you needed more than that. So we built a series of resources called Gemini Skills to support people doing Gemini training. So we got that. But then also there's a policy piece, and there's a piece around expectations of what your students can do. You know, if they use Gemini to generate ideas for a piece of work, is that fine? Do they acknowledge that? How do they acknowledge that? Do you reference it, you know, that I use generative AI in this piece of work? And it's about being clear about those expectations before you roll to then say, well, we're going to give it to this group or this group of people. So it's sort of a combination of the two. The training piece, so that students understand bias, hallucinations, the fact that he gets it wrong. And I've been clear about your expectations when they can use it. And so that combined then seems to produce a better space. But yeah, it's definitely not a turn on and hope for the best. It's there's a lot of thought in that process.
Well, as a power user of Google products, where do you see yourself using these features the most? I think we're still living in a world where people think that AI is ChatGPT conversation stuff, right? But no, I turn on my Gmail and it says, would you like me to reply like this? You turn on your slides and it says, would you like me to create? I mean, it's all baked in. I mean, it's no longer slides with AI. It's just a feature of and all of these different places. And I'm always surprised at how many different ways you can just find it living within yourself. I don't know if that's a good thing. I don't know if that's a bad thing, but I'm certainly over the summertime here working my way through each of the apps to figure out how the AI component can support this. As a professional, as a PD provider, as a as an educational leader, how do you see yourself using Gemini and making your life a little bit easier?
Yeah, so just to be clear on that, so the Gemini that's out there for everyone to use at the moment for schools is the Gemini app at gemini.google.com. That's available free for everybody and for students. And then the integration inside a Google product, so to have it appear inside DocSheets and Slides, is a paid upgrade at this point. So there's that slight difference. And Classroom has just slid from one to the other. So Classroom is now in the free side of things. So Gemini inside Classroom is free. And I think we'll see that movement a little bit over time. But obviously different people will have access to different tools. One of the things I'm starting to notice is people are moving on beyond asking it to generate just text. So, you know, early on, as you say, it was, oh, I'll get to write a letter for parents, or I'll get to write this report, or I'll get, you know, do these sort of things. And they're starting to think of it more to do tasks. And that's the big sort of mindset shift. So, for example, yesterday, actually, I was using it because I had a list of people who'd registered for one event, a list of people who registered for another event. And I said, go and find me who's registered for both. You know, just look at these two and give me the list of people that are on both events. Previously, I'd have probably either done a formula if I was feeling geeky, or I might have just gone through the list in alphabetical order and picked them. But that's just a perfect example of, oh, it's easy. Just ask Gemini to do that. Thank you very much. There's my people that are coming to both these things. Now I can send them an email, whatever it is, and go on. So it's thinking about that process of where can it help me. But I think something you hit upon there is important to note. And that's, if I had to look where I think AI will be in the long term, it'll just be embedded into things. I think we might look back at this period of time and find it strange that we did specific AI training detached from like everything else, because it'll just sort of embed. I think it'll almost go through a peak of being a separate thing and then become something we expect our Google Docs and our slides to use AI, and it just becomes part of the furniture. And a good example I use of that is that when I go to schools now, I used to say to them, have you got a projector, or have I got a screen to use, or will I need to bring something? And now I don't ask. I just turn up. And I know I'm going to HDMI into something, because the sort of that's moved on, and that's normal now, isn't it? None of us as a teacher now would expect to be in a classroom without some form of display. I think that's what AI will do. It will shift from being this shiny new thing to be this, oh, it's just there product over time, and just how we manage that process.
When we're opening up our Google Classrooms, I know that there's going to be some teachers that look at this and say, do I need to use this? Do I want? Perhaps a school district is saying, let's open this up. When a teacher does open up Google Classroom and sees all these features, give us an idea of what some of the things are that are now offered inside of Google Classroom.
Yeah, so the tools inside Classroom are specifically, I would sometimes we describe as wrappers or walkthrough tools to help a teacher create some content, whether that's to alter the reading level of text, whether that's to help them create some ideas for activities. There's a series of different tools within Classroom they can use. And sometimes people look at them and go, oh, I tried this one and it wasn't exactly like, you know, I would have written it. And that's fine, isn't it? Because it doesn't have to be perfect. And if you wanted to, you could go to Gemini and build a gem that's probably more customizable and specific for you. But think about all those teachers that are very new to AI. They're not going to go and build a gem in Gemini at this point. You know, the fact that they can just start to get the idea of generating content is good. And one of the things I often say when I use Gemini is I think about the fact that when I went and write the prompt, I didn't have the answer. Now I've got an answer that's better than the no answer I had there, and probably not as good as what I would write if I wrote it myself. It's somewhere on a scale, isn't it? And you're going to take that content, you're going to improve it and use it. And I think it's leveling that people's expectations around that. You know, it's not going to be the most perfect lesson plan or the most perfect activity in the world that you would have created for your students, because you're the expert with the knowledge of the students and everything else. And Gemini's flying blind in that space, isn't it? It doesn't know your students, your class. There are some classes I would never do a practical activity with because I know them, and Gemini doesn't know that, so it's going to suggest some crazy practical activity and I'm not going to do it. And that's just my teacher skill. So I think it's just being understanding of that space and knowing what to expect. But I think it does open up the potential. Just don't expect perfection, I think, is what I would say at this point.
So what
you probably know Google well enough to know that they iterate, they improve, the thing gets better, they take the feedback and they build new buttons and new features because everybody goes, oh, this would be so much better if you did this. And we're going to see that. This is like version one of what that's going to be like.
And that's exactly how I'm feeling about this. This is version one. This is the lowercase beta, yeah. Right? Like, you know, it's not the it's the version that we're starting with. And yeah, I know Google very well. As soon as we get comfortable using this, and as soon as we make all of our training materials, and as soon as you guys launch this big PD thing, they're going to change where the button is. Oh, and it's all going to be wrong.
As soon as I create a slide deck with some instructions in, it will move.
This past year, I spent the entire semester teaching my kids how to find these like three or four different things. And then Google like 3 weeks before the end of the school year, hey, we've updated our menu. I'm like, what?
Classrooms had a slight refresh. If you're very geeky, you might notice that actually Classrooms had a slight Material 3 improvement as well. So you have to be extreme geek to notice this, but there are actually UI changes across all of Classroom that change the side menu, and the icons have changed ever slightly.
I always tell the story of one summer I did about a 24 video tutorial for my school district talking about the red button up on top of Google Drive. And by the time school started, it was a blue button. And I'm just like, well, 24 videos. You know, the problem with Google is there's so many things that are going on. And we know that there's some great places online to find out information. Our friend Eric Kurtz, John Sowash, Alice Keeler, all these great blogs have some amazing information. But we're always looking for what's that one source that we can go to find out what is new. How do we support our teachers? And that's why I'm so excited today to introduce Canopy Education Magazine, a new adventure for you guys. Talk to us a little bit about it and why start a magazine for education these days?
Yeah, so the magazine was an interesting idea, and it came out of the fact that lots of companies would contact me and say, do you want to advertise in our magazine? And I'd say, well, who's your magazine for? And they'd say, it's for teachers. And I used to sit there and go, well, I don't want to talk, and I do want to talk to lots of teachers, but I was Canopy were quite focused on teachers who use technology, and I used to say, well, if there was a magazine for teachers who use Google and Canva, that would be perfect for us. And then after that, saying that enough times, someone went, why don't we make that magazine? And then we can, you know, put all our stuff and all our ideas in there. So that sort of grew from there. So the magazine's actually been out about 3-4 years now. And we're on edition 8 or 9, depending on when you count our Canberra edition. So we're on at that. And it's really interesting because we had a blog. We still have a blog. We've always had a blog. But there's something about articles in print. There's something about the physical. People will come and see me and say, have you got a magazine? Can I get hold of the magazine? Can I get a copy of that? And it's something about that that's sort of touchable that people really love. We also see people downloading individual articles from our website and then using that to support PD or to support something they're doing in their school. And we see a lot of traction around people picking it apart in bits. And we love that. Because that's what we built it for. So those two things are great. And it's just, yeah, just growing. I wouldn't, you know, if people said to me, what's the one source of truth? We obviously only come out twice a year. So we're only up to date as the last edition. And sometimes if you could get us towards the end of the 6 months, we're getting shaky again, particularly in the AI world. So if people said to me, where do I get my updates from? I really religiously follow the Google Workspace Updates blog as well. What they're launching.
How do you go about determining when you're only doing it, you know, once or twice a year, whatever it is, how do you go about determining what actually goes into print when we're going faster than the speed of lightning at this point with all the changes? What makes a magazine article versus it goes on the blog?
Yeah, so for us, it's a couple of big things. It has to be teaching and learning focused.
Okay.
So we won't just run a, hey, there's a new button in whatever Google Docs that you can press. It really has to be something we think is going to improve teaching and learning in the classroom. So that's a biggie for us. So there is some stuff we look at and go, yeah, we might write a tweet that's some new feature, but actually we're not going to focus the magazine around it. So we've done that. Then various people write for us. So various trainers and authors write content for us. They might suggest things to us and go, I've got a great idea for this. And we might go, that's lovely, let's go with it. So it comes from our community, comes from also what we're getting requested for in terms of training. What are people asking us? You know, what is the tools and the questions and the things they want to know right now? So if you look at the recent edition, yeah, there's some AI in there because we've talked about some of the new features. I think we did the change of the UI for Canva because they redesigned for Visual Suite 2.0. And we do that piece. So it's just, what do we think people need at that point? You see, it is hard to cut it sometimes. And also how quickly it can go out of date, particularly because we launch usually around the conferences. So we do an edition in the summer that drops at ISTE and one in the winter that drops at BET, which sounds like a really smart move. But often on the day I give it out, Google or Canva alter the product. So it's sort of out of date at launch, which is one of the downsides of launching on a conference. But it's good. It goes well. A lot of people love it. And I think it is a good way of getting a good, solid teaching and learning source.
You can, of course, find out more information about that over at canopy.education. And the magazines are beautiful. I actually had a chance to hold one in my hand at ISTE and bring it back home to check it out. And, you know, they're universal messages. When you're talking about teaching and learning, it doesn't have to be a Google thing. It doesn't have to be a Canva thing. It's quality education written by quality educators. So I highly recommend
teaching and learning is the key lead in for me, and that's one of our key leads in for everything we do, which is we've got to think. And there's a test I say at Canopy, which is, would I have done it as a teacher? So I was a teacher for 20 years mm-hmm. in the classroom. So people come along to me a lot and say, oh, we've got this new idea for a thing, do you want to have a look at it? And my mindset is, would I really have done that with my students in my classroom? And if the answer is yes, then we'll you know, we might read the magazine, or we might do some training work on it, whatever it might be. If I look at it and go, yeah, I wouldn't have done that. It's just, it's lovely. It's an ed tech product, but it's not really teaching and learning. Then we might say no. And we do say no to an awful lot, you'd be surprised, particularly in the AI age, where we're seeing people outside education build for what they think education needs. And we're then looking at it going, yeah, that's not a problem we had in the first place. You're not solving an education problem there. You've just built a fancy AI tool that we don't need. So we're being selective with what we work with.
Let's jump back into some of these updates here. Was there anything that surprised you that came out? Is there anything other than the Gemini in Classroom that you're sitting there going, that's a game changer, that's really neat, I can't wait to share that with people? What other updates kind of have you excited this summer?
One that's not AI related was the fact that Google Vids has come to all editions of Google.
Yes, I'm excited about that.
Google Vids was previously locked into teaching, locked into Education Plus, wasn't it? It was locked into a paid tier. And now that's available to everybody. And I see real potential in the use of video as a classroom tool and an assessment tool as well.
What's your thoughts on Vids? Is it still 1.0? Are we at 2.0 yet? I've dabbed with it a little bit, but I haven't. I'm waiting until like probably middle of August before school starts to really jump into this one. But what's your thoughts on Vids?
I think it depends what your benchmark is on video editing and what you're trying to do with the tool. What Vids is a nice, simple way to get videos together, right? So if you think about it as a teacher, I'm trying to get my students to make a video. I'm focusing on the content. They can get in there quite quickly, record screen quite nicely. There's a very nice auto cue type tool where students can read what they want to present. So some really nice features in, and they can fairly quickly understand the timeline bar and get a video together. So that's nice. If I was trying to work with someone trying to make something in Adobe Premiere and I'm trying to get them to come to Vids, they're going to say this lacks features.
And I'm glad that you said that, right? Okay, everything that I do here is on Final Cut. Now, I am not expecting any teacher to do that. But how would you, with your stable there, how would you compare Google Vids to Canva video productions?
Yeah, they're slightly different, I would say. Canva's always got that ability to have a big bank of images and content, and Canva's templates is strong. So, like, if I'm coming in from that point of view and I want to make it on brand, Particularly if I'm going for a corporate look, that's probably going to side towards Canva.
Mm-hmm.
If I'm coming in, maybe what I'm trying to do is grab a screencast to record over slides, any of those sort of things, probably move towards Vids. And one of the things I'm seeing from a student point of view at the moment is teachers are nervous about AI. They're nervous, did the student write this work? Well, if I say to my students, produce a presentation and then record yourself presenting it, the bit whether you used AI to produce the presentation or not is somewhat taken off by the fact you've got to stand there and talk through it. And as a teacher, if you explain content to me, I've sort of won anyway, because you've learnt the content, even if your slides came out of magic AI or whatever they used. So this idea of getting video evidence, I think it's growing. And I'm seeing more teachers request video, so I don't think matters which tool they're using in that space. If they're using one, it's good. And the fact that both of them are available is good.
Now, I'm going to be honest and say I have not really played with Vids yet. Are we at the point where a teacher can create a template and then, like a Google slide, go into Classroom and say, everybody go use this template? That's one of the things that have stopped me from really diving fully into Canva.
It's the same as any other Google editor tool in that respect.
Except for sites.
You remember the old course copy links back in the day for Google Docs?
Right.
You basically build your structure of what you want the students to produce, go to Classroom, make a copy for each student, fire the thing out, just like you would doc sheets and stuff.
I'm waiting for them to bring that to Google Sites. That's my one wish. Google
put inside, you're right. But in fact, you can do that in Vids.
But
you can just push that thing out. They're all making their Vids, but they're off your template, so the structure is there. And then you get the content.
They just turn it. It's no different than a Google Doc. It's just the video version.
Google Doc, all of those tools. That's the biggie. Is that integration with Classroom piece?
If we can get Google to listen to this and put Google Sites into that category, I would be a happy middle school teacher.
Why they've never done Sites? Because Sites is a portfolio build. It's fantastic.
I make it for posters. I use it for video. I use it for resumes. I use it for everything. I'm building restaurant websites. But man, we're going off on a tangent here. But it probably takes me 3 hours just to put together and then you can't control it. My goodness. Google, listen to this one. So that's awesome. And that's amazing. And look, if you're out there listening and you've been using Google Vids, leave a comment, write me back, go to teachercast.net/contact. Would love to hear from you guys. I'm really excited about trying Vids this year, especially knowing that all my students have access to it.
I think it got hidden a bit in all the AI buzz. The fact that had gone to everybody as a thing. If there wasn't all the AI, that would have been a huge announcement for us, wouldn't it? That there was a new editor tool in Google. So that's good. And then in terms of other exciting stuff, I know it sits in the paid tier, but the class tools feature from Google, which allows a teacher to control the Chromebooks a lot more. I know there are third-party tools that do that, but for Google to actually produce their own sort of version of it, is a nice move, I think. And it's nice to start that they start to think about what's it like in the classroom. Because one of the things I do think is we had some great practice in COVID because we were online. How do you transfer that to in person? And sort of class tools does a bit of that by bringing things like closed captions and translated captions live into a classroom. So, yeah.
Is there a way for...
That's probably my top three.
Well, I mean, let's build on that. Is there a way for teachers to know what version of Google their school is on? I mean, how do I know that my school just doesn't have all these features turned off versus they're available to me, but I don't know that they're there?
A couple of little ways of telling. In Google Classroom, if you see add-ons... So, you know, in your Google Classroom, you go to assignment, create a new assignment. If on that box you see add-ons, that usually indicates that you're on a paid version of Google. So you should therefore, even if it's turned off, these other things are potentially turn-onable. So that's a good way that a teacher, just at a general level, can tell. The other one sometimes I look at when I'm talking to a teacher and they don't know is if they have access to cloud search in Google. So Google Cloud Search is in Education Plus. So they've got access to Cloud Search. In theory, the Education Plus is there somewhere. so they could use features. So those are two little ways a teacher could just find out what they're on.
I just as you were saying that, signed into my school account for the first time this summer. One, that hurts. Number two, hey, I've got Gemini turned on. That's kind of cool. So I'm certainly looking forward to testing out all of these things.
And whilst you're nearly back to school, I'm here in the UK, we haven't finished yet. So we finished this coming Friday for our summer break.
Oh, my goodness.
So we go all right to the almost end of July, and then we break through August and September.
Oh, wow. Well, let's take a look at that, right? Like, we are at that point right now where, as we're speaking, there's a lot of instructional coaches that check out this show, and they're thinking about the coming year. Where do you start, right? Like, on one hand, you've got all these coaches. Maybe they went to ISTE. Maybe they're keeping up with the news. Maybe they're the ones that are sitting down with their principal and saying, did you know this was open? How do you recommend breaking all of these things down? You got the AI, you got the Gemini, you got the classroom, you got the all right. How do you go about breaking this down as an instructional coach and start to put together a roadmap with your district for rolling these things out?
Some of this is a bit, like I said earlier, which is I wouldn't necessarily roll everything out together at once. Just turn it on and hope for the best. I would look at a structured plan for what's coming in when. And you probably know this yourself, Jeff, as a coach. Working focused on one particular area or on one particular product can be a really nice way to help structure staff through things. So just doing little wins is sometimes better than trying to do this. You know, if I was doing it right now, I think, well, where am I going to go? Am I going to go Gemini or Vids maybe and keep the other one on the back burner for now? If we haven't really got our policies and our stuff sorted for Gemini, let's leave that turned off or leave that on the back burner and maybe focus on Vids first because that's more understandable as just a new editor tool. Or if we got Gemini on and we're going for staff only, or are we going to go Notebook LM, which is a really good companion tool in the Gemini space for staff? It's just working out what is it I want to focus on next year and where I'm going to win with different classes and different teachers. So it would be that piece. And bear in mind that you don't have to go as fast as everybody else. And just because something's on, you don't have to use it, right? You can control that journey yourself. Don't rush.
What resources can somebody find on Canopy to support the professional development in their school year?
So we've got a range of resources. I mean, our website is because of the different things we do, got a range of stuff on there. We mentioned the magazine earlier and the blog. And then we've got some of our specific training products like Workspace Skills and Gemini Skills. And then we go into our PD offerings. So we offer professional development to schools, both online and in person. We're not at our back to school phase yet because we won't run that for a few more weeks. But next year, we're obviously focusing more on AI once again to support schools using that. But also in the UK, a real big focus on the impact of educational technology. And it's often referred to as PedTech now, which is the coming together of pedagogy and technology. Mm. So we see an increasing amount of schools asking us to deliver training that is focused on teaching and learning, but might use technology. And what I mean by that is they'll take something like Stretch and Challenge of More Able Students, and they'll ask us to deliver a workshop on that. But we're using, let's say, Google Classroom or Canva or whatever tool we're working with in that space. So the teaching and learning is the focus of what we're doing, and then the tool supports that. And I know that's how instructional coaches work anyway. Mm-hmm. This is sort of what you guys do all the time. But I think keeping that focus is better than just going, hey, have you seen Gemini? Or have you seen Vids over here? You know, what's the actual point of seeing Vids if I don't have an educational use for it in my classroom in the next week?
Right. It's a lot of good stuff out there. The website, again, is canopy.education. He is Andrew Caffrey, CEO of Canopy. Andrew, you were on the show a year ago, and I'm going to put you on the spot here, but I got to tell you, from that interview, from that conversation that we had that talked about workplace skills and talked about PD, I was able to check out the resources on your website, specifically the badging stuff, the how do you break down the different apps, what are the skills, and I put together a 6th grade, 7th grade, and 8th grade curriculum for my middle school that, I got to be honest with you, not only saved me hundreds of hours of planning, but also created what was arguably one of the better experiences that our students had. And I know that because I'll never forget the board meeting where they were showing off the curriculum that I was writing. And it was based loosely of our collaborations. And when the superintendent goes, man, I wish I could be in that classroom. Thank you, my friend.
No, that's and thank you. And that's why we do it. We created Canopy as a community interest company. So we're it's a type of nonprofit. And what that means in the UK is that our focus isn't a business focus. It's about making a difference. So what you're telling me there is exactly what we're supposed to be doing, because that's what we are about, which is how do we create these resources, whether it's a magazine, whether it's workspace skills, Gemini skills now, whether it's delivering a PD session for some teachers, whatever that is we're being asked to do, how do we make sure that it physically makes a difference, like you were just saying there, didn't you? If someone says that, that means we must have done something right. And what I would say is, like any company, we do lots of things to try and do something right, and it's great to hear that things are landed.
I took your resources, and my seventh grade course now goes through every single Google app, but we're not focusing on the tool. We're focusing on what you can do with it.
Yeah.
And they start the year by filling out a passport. And then every time we hit an app, they get a new badge. That was one of the things that I grabbed from you guys. And then at the end, they have a full passport with all of their skills. And my goal for my class is that by the time they go sixth, seventh, and eighth grade with me, they're ready to take the adult level one and level two classes.
Yeah, and we didn't list, as you know, our website's various breakdowns of how that works. We didn't build it necessarily so that they would do that, but we had that. We were sort of, when you're trying to level something, we sort of had that in mind that you'd build towards that sort of point as an adult. And I think we might see some more things from Google to support students in the coming months.
I know on my wish list, I would love to have some kind of a student, something. I don't think that eighth graders need to be taking a Google test, but something that shows what kind of skills that they have. So that way, when they walk into high school, the high school teachers know, oh, they can make a video. They can make a website. They've got the ISTE standards down, if you will. What else can we do with that?
We understand what that level means. Yeah.
So there's a lot of stuff in here, but I just wanted to end the show today, Andrew, by saying thank you for the inspiration last year. The stuff that you guys are doing over at canopy.education is awesome, and I'm looking forward to having you on the show again. Please feel free to bring your entire team. You guys are doing some great stuff.
What I would say is you need to talk to the rest of the team.
I'd love to talk to the rest of the team.
As you know, I work with a real great team of educators. So the thing I would say, I'm not going to come back again. You have to talk to someone else.
I would absolutely love that. If you guys out there listening would like to be on that show or anything else, please head on over to teachercast.net/podcast. You can check out the Digital Learning Today show, our Jeff Bradbury show, or even Ask the Tech Coach. Lots of great stuff. Andrew, one last time, where can we learn more about the great things that you and your team are doing?
Yeah, probably follow us on socials, Canopy Education, or on the web at canopy.education.
Guys, it's going to be a very long school year. You might be starting in a few weeks, or if you're living next to Andrew, you might be starting sometime in October. There's a lot of great things going on, and we want to be a part of your professional development. Hit that like and subscribe button. Share this podcast with everybody. We have spent a lot of time since the ISTE conference revamping all of our websites, changing all of our landing pages, updating our blog posts, and we are just getting started. Don't forget to head on over to teachercast.net/standards, and you can check out our new book, Impact Standards, Helping to Design Systems That Impact Student Learning in the Classroom. It is getting a lot of great reviews. If you have checked it out and listened to it, please feel free to leave an Amazon review. We would love to hear from you guys. So again, teachercast.net/standards. And that wraps up this episode of Digital Learning Today. On behalf of Andrew Canopy Education and everybody here at TeacherCast, my name is Jeff Bradbury, reminding you guys to keep up the great work in your classrooms and continue sharing your passions with your students.
You've been listening to the TeacherCast Educational Network, hosted by Jeff Bradbury. Please reach out to the show with all of your questions on Twitter at TeacherCast or online at www.teachercast.net. Be sure to subscribe to our podcast so you don't miss any future episodes. And please take a moment to write a review in the App Store.